Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin, and we are right at the very top of the daf. We're in the middle of trying to find the Mekor and the Torah for the various diyukim that we have in the vidui of the Kohen Gadol. So we said before that the Kohen Gadol begins with the word Ona Hashem. Where do we get this idea that you should say Ona? So again, as I explained yesterday, it's parshat why we say the second ona, which is a reference to the ona to be mechaper, to be mechal, and so on and so forth. But how come we say ona at the beginning when we're just about to announce all the bad things that we, what do you mean? I mean, please, that what? So where do we find such a thing? Well, ne'emar kan kapara, ne'emar la'alan b'chorev kapara. Listen, after the Maisa Egel, where Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for kapara, it uses the lashon of ona. Ona chata amaze chata hagadolah, right? So why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying ona if it's in terms of the chet? Same thing is doing over here with the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, we learn out just like over there, Moshe begins with ona, afkan the ona Hashem. From the Rambam, it's clear that he learns that this is a din in the nature of vidui. Because he says this, including this ona, along with many other halachas, zo ikra yishal vidui. So he apparently is learning that this is not stam a gilui of the kapara that is mentioned over here, specifically by the Kohen Gadol. It's a concept of how to do vidui, which is the kapara, as we spoke yesterday. There are others that learn that this is a special din, only where we have the gzerish of ona, which is over here, to the par and to the soyer. But it's not a din in the heftza of vidui. Fine. Okay, let's continue. How do we know that we're supposed to be using the Shem Hashem? Because it says over here, Ona Hashem. And as we mentioned earlier, the Hashem that is being referred to, if you're going to most Rishonim, and especially the Rambam, the way the Rambam brings the halacha, is that the Shem is the Shem. The Rosh speaks this out, that it doesn't make sense to him to say that it means a shame other than the shame that's written in the Pasuk, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The fact that Rav Haigon says that, well, we know it's a reference to the shame ben membeis aisyeis, and he even reports that in our times there's plenty of batei midrashim where there are those bali kabbalah that have a Kabbalah about how to say that shame, and so on. Beinenu, it's Motzri. He uses the Lashon Motzri Beinenu, which is rather shocking. But in any event, as the Rosh says, I mean, why would it mean different than the Pasuk? Pasuk says Yud Kei Vav Kei. Fine. That's how the Rambam Paskins do. So how do we know that we should use the shame in saying that? Ne'emar kan kapara v'ne'emar begla rufa kapara. That's different. That it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say Ona Hashem. He just says Ona Chata Amaseh Chata Gedola. But we do have a place where it does say the Shem, and that is by the Egla Arufa. So over there, it specifically says also the Lashon of Ona, of the Shem Hashem. So we say specifically Kaper with the Shem. So why don't we do that on Har Choriv itself? There it says, the Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael, Shepadita Hashem, and so on. So I ask the Gemara, why don't we do that? Says Abai, I mean, I understand why we can't learn out Choriv from Egla Rufa. We can't ask why Moshe didn't learn out of Egla Rufa to say the Shem Hashem in Har Sinai when he was coming to be Mechaper for the Ego, because he can't go backwards in time. So maybe he would have if we would have had the Egla Rufa at that point. But the other way around, why didn't we learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu at the Egla Rufa? So Bishlam Bechorev, Egla Rufa, Lo Yolev, Maida Adahavi. Time only goes in one direction. Ela Egla Rufa, why don't we learn out the dinim of Egla Rufa from Chorev, that we should say the word Ana by the Egla Rufa? Because there we also learn the Kapara. Maybe you'll say, yeah, we do. Why not? What makes you say we don't? But the Mishnah, which says the Lashon that we're supposed to use for the Egla Rufa, speaks it out, and it does not say a word about any Ona. The Mishnah Saita goes to what we say. And it says over there, HaKohanim Omrim, Kaper la'amcha Yisrael, not ona, kaper la'amcha Yisrael. V'ilu ba'ona loka oma. So how come we don't learn one out from the other if they're compared with the gzera shava of kapara kapara? Kasha, that's a bit of a problem. I mean, it's not a fatal problem, because you could say that since the Torah says specifically, word for word, the lashon of what the Kohanim say, so it's obviously telling us not to say ona. Okay. Then the Mishnah says that when the Kohen Gadol says the Shem Hashem, Himonim Acharav, then they say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed. Where do we know that from? Tanya. Rebbe Omer, and it says in the Pasuk, Shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godol Eloheinu. So that means that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, if I pronounce the Shem, so then you have to say the Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amala Moshe Yisrael. And therefore, you should say the most appropriate thing. This is the marker for this is that we see in Ezra, that's the lashon that they used. It says, so that is a remez already to the idea. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed. Because it says that concept of being above every possible bracha that can be given. So it's probably, that's what we used here. There's another lashon, and that is Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer. It says in the Pasuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, V'shem Rasha'im Yirkap. So Zecher Tzadik Livracha means Amar lehem Navi Yisrael. And that's a little bit strange, because of course this is a pasuk in Mishle, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And why does it say that the Navi said to Yisrael, it's not a Navi, this is in Ksuvim, and it's from Shlomo Amel's interest. There's been almost books written about this issue. There's many, many articles that have come out about this issue. But if you take a look at the Ein Yaakov, the Girsa is Amar lehem Moshe Yisrael. Not Navi Yisrael. So in other words, what we're saying is a remez to what it was that is contained in Atam Havu Godol Eloheinu. Why do I say that? Because L'chaira, we use this lashon of the Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Elokeinu, we use that to teach the Chiyuv of Birchas HaTorah, according to Maamar D'Omer. So that gives us the alternative, but the Pasuk is merames that there's another concept, that when I'm maskir, Hashem Hashem, you should say a bracha. So from here, it's already not the Shem Hashem, right? Over there it says Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. Over here it says Kashani Maskir Tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Tzadik HaShaloylam. But then that would mean that this would be true even if it's not the Shem HaMefurash. Every time. And indeed, because of this, there are many who hold that it's a chiyuv to say that when somebody says the Shem Hashem, even in a bracha, people are supposed to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, based on this. So that if there's any reference to the Shem Hashem, even if it's not the Shem HaMefurish, you should say a bracha. So Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo is a bracha on the Shem Hashem. Lemaisa, this has led to a lot of really cuckoo things. I mean, it gets to a point where you can't even hear Achazin and Mani Bate Knetziot and the Chazor Tzashat. Everybody is shouting out, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema. And you don't hear the end of the Baruch Bechlal from the Shats. Not to mention that people are also Mikatser. They say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema very quickly. And I know of a certain place where it's become an Avodah Zarah because they've decided that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an elephant, like out of India. Because every time the Chazan says Baruch Atah Hashem, somebody says Bar Bar Shemo, which is a horrible thing. I mean, to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bar Bar. That's how quickly they say Bar Bar Shemo. So anyway, the meaning of the Gra was not to say the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in the middle of the Chazaras Hashad. And what's more, as Reb Moshe points out in a tshuva, there's no chiyuv. There's not a chiyuv anywhere that it says such a thing. It's only a minhag that they should say that this pasuk is an application. Even though the Gemara is talking about the Shem HaMefurish, that's a minhag. And therefore, if you would say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in the middle of a bracha that you're trying to be yotzei, So there are many who hold you won't be yotze because you're being mafsik in the bracha, or others say because you're being mishana the nusach of the bracha, and whenever you do that, so you're not yotze, because you're putting in like new things into the bracha on your end. Okay, l'maisa it's a machlokas whether you should really be mevorach again or not. Some say that b'diavad, you are yotze, which is the mashmos of the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, could be at least it's a suffix bracha l'haka, but it's not. The minig is, some say by the Chassam Sofer and the Beis HaMidrash that there were people who said it and he wasn't mecha on them. It doesn't say anywhere that he said it. So, again, it's very much a question of minhagim. The Sfardim, as you know, are very big on saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemal. Now, Ashkenazim are not as big. Okay. All right, we're up to our Kapitan, and give it to us, dear Kapitan. So now we move on. Thank you. Now we move on to the next thing that the Kohen Gadol has to do, because this is after he went ahead and he was mesvada on his par. That was the first thing. Then what's the next thing? And remember, everything is said in order. We said the next thing is me'et adat b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei sirei zin, and then it goes on to say v'lokach et shnei sirim v'emidotam b'fnei Hashem petach olamoid v'natan aron ha'shnei sirim goralot goral echad. I'm saying the whole pasuk because we're going to be analyzing the words of the pasuk. Goralot goral echad l'Hashem v'goral echad la'azazel. Okay, so where did he do this? So the only reason, remember, that we brought the par all the way up to the area between the Mizbeach, Beino Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, even though we felt it wasn't really appropriate to bring an animal up there, is because of the Chush of the Kohen Gadol. But right now, he's not doing anything that is going to be part of the Chush of the Kohen Gadol, because he's not ready yet to bring the Dam of the Sawyer. He's only doing the Goralot. So the Goralot were not done close to the Heichal. They were done facing the Heichal, and that's because it says, Lifnei Hashem Petach HaOmoed. But that doesn't mean it has to be as close as possible. So there, we put the Seirim actually close to the place where we're going to be sending them out. So we bring them up to the entranceway into the Azara, which is by Shaar Nikanor, and over there, they did put them in the right side, which is the northern side, because all of the Aveda, including the Goralot of Kachim Kachim, has to be done Betzad Tzafein, but it was done to the east, so it was the northeast as opposed to the northwest where the Kohen had been standing in order to bring his par. So now he comes to the Mizrach HaZara, and he's at a line which is Litzvon HaMizbeach. Uh-oh. Now we got a problem. I mean, it hits you right in the face, right? Because if it's Litzvon HaMizbeach, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean literally Litzvon HaMizbeach. It means draw a line from the furthermost northern part of the Mizbeach, and anything to the right of that line as you're standing towards, facing the Heichal, anything to the right of that line is considered to be Tzofen. But in the beginning of the Mishnah, when we were talking about the par, it said that the par was between the Mizbeach, which means it doesn't have to be from a line all the way on the northern side of the Mizbeach. That must mean that there were parts of the Mizbeach that were still Betzofen, even though he was between the Mizbeach and the Heichal. And here it says, no, only a line drawn from the northern Mizbeach. I mean, that, the Gemara, of course, is the first thing that we're going to worry about, because it's a contradiction within the same Mishnah. And that was the beginning of this Mishnah, it's the end of the Mishnah. Okay, the Skan was standing to the right of the Kohen Gadol when he does the Goralot, and the Rosh Beit Av is standing to the small, because, after all, this was being brought from all of Klal Yisrael, and the idea over here was that there should be somebody that is made there. Not to mention the fact that whenever we deal with something that has to do with Goralot, we want to make sure that it's done legally, you know, and there's no funny stuff going on. So even on TV, you got to have a couple people there, right? I mean, you can't trust the Goralot, or else you get a robot to do it or a machine to do it. We don't trust people. So remember the Kohen Gadol's got a little bit of a vested interest over here because he wants the Goral Hashem to come out on his right hand because this was a sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ritzui and the Kohanim Gedolim that were Tzadikim. It would be Ayla in the Yamin. So we put other people there. Okay, so we have the Sagan, and that's the backup Kohen who is on his right. And we have the Rosh Beit Av, whatever Kohuna is being Oivet, on that day, that would normally be there, he's to the left. Vishom Shnei Seirim, and that's where we had put the Echad Hashem, Echad Lazazel, and there was a Kalpi Aitasha. There was this box, where inside the box, we had two Goralot. One of them said Hashem, and one of them said Lazazel. And these Goralot were actually, originally, they were made out of Eshkiroa, are you? Originally made out of a type of wood. It's called Eshkaroa. We just had this in the Goyim, remember? Where we spoke about the skin coloration of Bnei Yisrael is like Eshkaroa. So, okay, generally that's translated as boxwood, which is not a very white wood, and it's not a very dark wood, and that's what it's referring to over here. It's a hardwood, and it's choshev, and that's why they said to use that. But then when Yeshua ben Gamla was made into the Kohen Gadol. Remember, we had this whole story of Marta Bat Baitos. So he donated gold goralot. And Vayu Maskinat Ola Shevach, they would mention that as one of the things that we remember, Luteva, and he was very rich, you know, he was married to Marta Bat Baitot, and one of the things he did is that he donated gold goralot. There are others who also did things that we remember them, Luteva, Ben Katin, we've already seen, that he made 12 different spouts for the Kiyar, because he wanted, remember that we said, he wanted all of the Kohanim who were going to be Zeche in that pious to be able to run to the Kiyar and to do simultaneously Kiddushah Daim Raglayim. Originally, there were only two on the Kiyar, and the original ones were very different. They weren't two, one on either side. They were two, one up and one down. You see why that was. So another thing that he did, Ben Katin, is he did another wonderful thing. And that was, the Kiyar remembers a Kli Sharet. It's one of the Kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make. And if it's a Kli Sharet, that would mean that any water that was inside of the Kiyar was Mekudash, because the Kli Sharet is a Mekachi. But anything that's Mekudash and stays overnight is Paso Belina. So then the water of the Kiyar would need to be refilled every morning because you couldn't use the water the next day because it was Nifsa. So what Ben Katin did is he made this machine. So he made a Muchani Likiyar Shelo Yu Meimav Nifsalim Belina to make sure that this machine would lower the Kiyar into the actual water that had been used for filling it with the Mayan, the Mea Mayan. That way, it was mechuber to the earth. And once something is mechuber, it is not considered to be pasobelina. Because of that, they were also maskir him. And I also pointed out to you once that it's an amazing thing. By Klal Yisrael, the word muchani comes from the nature of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Mechon l'shiftecha pa'altasha. All of the inyanim of Kedusha, like by Shabbos, constantly is a reference to having something prepared. And that is our understanding of the nature of emergence, which is the opposite of the mechanical. The Greeks used exactly the same word to mean mechanical, muchani, mechanics. So by us, the concept of mechanics initially were already merames to the elements that we now know in physics as more quantum mechanical rather than physically mechanical in the old-fashioned way, which was the Greek version. So it's amazing that the Mishnah is Koveya, this is the Lashon, of what it is that was done for the Kiyar. Mechanical, or part of the Hachona, to make things proper for the Makom of Mucha. Monbaz HaMelech, then there was something else that was done. And that was Monbaz who was one of the apparently one of the Behurdas. This is a question exactly of whether he was considered to be one of them. Some say that he was even the son of Hurdas, but that's not very well connected. Okay, exactly who he was isn't clear. You know, it's a whole question whether he's related Dafka to Helene Amalka. In any event, he was very rich. So he was Ose Kol Yadot HaKelim. He made all of the handles of the Kelim that were being used for Yom Kippur. He made them out of gold. And Helene Imo Asata Nivreshet Shel Zahav. His mother, Helene Amalka, also quite a lot of different stories about precisely who this is. She made a Nivreshet Shel Zahav, a beautiful golden menorah-like thing, and it was put over the entranceway to the Heichal. We'll see that the purpose of this was that the sun should reflect immediately at the Neitz HaNir Eh. It should reflect off of this Nivreshet so that people should know when the Neitz had come. She also made a golden tablet, Afiasta, Tablash Azam, and the Parsha of the Seita was written on that, and therefore when they had to write Parsha Seita for the Seita, they would be able to copy it from her tablet. And there was, you'll recall, even though this sounds very funny to us, right? I mean, what in the world? This would be like a big thing to do in Beis Mikdash, to write the Parsha Seita. But remember that Shlomo HaMelech, when he comes to make the Chanukah HaMikdash in his beautiful speech about what's happening, that's exactly what he mentions, that the people will come here, and that he mentions the inyan of the Seita, that if someone is Mo'alama, it's quite amazing. You also recall that we saw that in the actual Binyan Beis HaMikdash, we had to come to the Parsha Seita too, because when David HaMelech actually made the Shittim, he needed to learn out the old story of, he needed to throw in the Shem Hashem, and he learned that out of the Parsha of Seita. So, okay, apparently it was in the Beis HaMikdash itself. There's another person that they also would remember Lateva, and that was Nicanor. Nicanor was Meisur Nefesh for his Delet. He wouldn't allow them to throw it into the Yam, even though it could cost him his life. And Ayum Eskirin Otam L'Shavach. These people were all part of those that all through the Deres, we would remember the beautiful things that they did for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now let's take the beginning of the Mishnah, which we said seems to be a built-in contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Over here you say that he had to go to the northern part, and we define the northern part where he was standing to the east, so it's northeast, that would be, if it was a line that would be drawn from the northernmost part of the Mizbeach, then north of that line, to the right of that line, as you're facing the Heichal, that is considered to be Tzofeng, which makes it very clear that the entire Mizbeach was Bedorim, and there's none of the Mizbeach that could be called Betzofeng. So now, whose Shita is that? That is Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov's Shita. Because as we know, we have this whole machlokas, the Tanya. We know that Tzafona, it says in the Pasuk, Tzafona lifnei Hashem. He understands Tzafona lifnei Hashem means the entire Tzafon is lifnei, means it's panui. And when you're in the northern side, you are lifnei Hashem. There's nothing in your way, wherever you are, meaning there's no Mizbeach there. Even the Mizbeach, which means that we push the Mizbeach to the south. And the midpoint of the entranceway to the Heichal is the furthest edge of the Mizbeach. Okay? But the problem is that this is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but the beginning of the Mishnah, which is this Mishnah, which is what we just learned, if we learned over there that he stood, the Kohen stood, between the Mizbeach and the doorway to the Heichal. So, and he had to be Betzafen. So obviously there is part of the Mizbeach that is between the actual Mizbeach and the door. So Horesha, Rebbe Eliezer ben Rebbe Shimon. The point is that this is exactly the opposite of what we said before, because, and we talked it out, that it is going to leave the Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Shimon who holds that we shecht the shore between the actual Ulam v'la Mizbeach, which means some of it has got to be north. Answers the Gemara, no, we didn't mean that. Actually, The entire Mishnah, from beginning to end, including the opening, goes Aliba, the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and it, when it says over here, it doesn't mean what it seems to. You got a letter wrong. It's all going according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, and the truth is that the idea of the Mizbeach is, as we said, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, that it's kula tzofein, and tani bivein, not kid. So the idea over here is beina olam, but what it should say is bivein olam mizbeach. So when the beginning of the Mishnah said that it was literally between the olam and the mizbeach, it doesn't mean it was literally beina olam mizbeach. It means it was in that area that was the equivalent of that part, beina olam mizbeach. So it was facing that part as close as it could get to the mizbeach, but it didn't really stand with the mizbeach on one side. That's what it must have meant. And then we said hasgan b'yamino and the rosh beit av l'smolo. That's not very nice. Didn't it say that Omer of Yehuda amalech liyamin rabo harei zabur? Rabbi Yehuda says that somebody who is standing to the right of his rebbe is such a boor that he doesn't even know the dinim of derech eretz. I mean, mele, he doesn't know halacha, but to be so insensitive that he doesn't even have derech eretz. I mean, says the Gemara, how could Rav Yehuda though say that? It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, haskan b'yamino v'rosh beitav l'smolo, not to mention the fact that we also have a braisa. The Otanya, the braisa says, shlosh shoyim ahalchim b'derech, if three people are walking along the road, so then the Rebbe should be in the middle. The Talmud, who is the greater Talmud, should be to his right, and the Kotan should be to his left. And v'chein matzino b'shlosh malachei hasharet shebo etzel Avraham. It says that all of them were nitzavim. So what does it mean they were nitzavim? If they were standing one behind the other, you couldn't say they were all nitzavim lefanav. Nitzavim would only have been referring to the one that was actually facing Avraham. But over here it says that all three malachim were actual nitzavim. And as the Rambam has explained in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, there are no such things as malachim that are precisely equivalent in Madrega, because then they would be the same malach. So, because there's nothing to distinguish them. You're not talking about physical beings. You're talking about mental beings. And therefore, it must mean that they were all in the same line. So then one had to be to the right and one had to be to the left. And over there it says that indeed it was Michael who is considered to be the greatest because he is the Sar Kevayochel of Yisrael, who always argues for Yisrael in front of the Beis Din Shamala. So he was in the middle and Gavriel was to the right and Raphael was to the left. So how can you do that? It was a big chutzpah to do that. If they were standing to the right and left, so apparently Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. It's not considered to be a big chutzpah. Tirguma Rav Shmuel Bar Papa Kameda Ravada Kedei Sheyitkasebo Rabo. It means that he covered the Rebbe from behind him. That's what it means. It's not that he was to the side, literally, but it means that it's to the side in the sense that he's behind him. That's what we think it means. It means now. So what we would do about Gavriel and Raphael, that's a bit of a question because we'd have to learn that they were off to the side and they weren't nitzavim. But the Gemara is only going to establish this in a moment. So, okay, it could be the Gemara just simply puts off this issue. The truth is, that's how Rashi learns the whole sugya. The Rashash is first understands that the Gemara is being mechalik between three Talmidim and two Talmidim. So in other words, if there's only, between three people and two people, if there's only two people, so then you would chas v'shalom not have a Talmud that was liyamin rabbi. But if there's two Talmidim, so then one is liyamin and one is the small. It's the same issue that we had, if you recall, by the Seder Shel Mishnah, where Moshe Rabbeinu would sit down. Aaron was originally to the left. And then afterwards, it starts talking about who goes to the right and who goes to the left. And then the Gemara questions even that issue, according to Rosh Hashanah. Rashi doesn't learn that that's the pshat over here because of the way that the Gemara is constructed. And the Gemara asks, it says, Vatanya, how can you say that in this case they were behind the Rebbe? It says, Hamahalech keneged Rabbo Hareze Mur. If he walks to the side, so then he doesn't have derech eretz. If he walks achorei Rabbo, then he's stuck up no goodnik. Hareze migase aruach. Because there it's not a question that he's being pogea b'Rabbo. If he walks behind him, it's not a chisor in the derech eretz the Rav. But he is showing that he feels himself to be second to the Rav. The Rav walks in front. Yes, the Rav is greater, but he is the next in line, so to speak. That's what a line means, next in line. So like, well, he's showing off that he's next in line, so he shouldn't be behind either. So how do you explain it? He can't be to the side, he can't be behind, so what's it going to be? No, that means that he should be behind, but off to the side, not directly in line. That's what it means. The mitzadeid atzidudei. Let's continue with the kalpi. So we have this box which contained the goralot. The kalpi haitasham ubash ne goralot. So, Tana Rabbana. So it says over here that these goralot, they were actually, these were goralot. I didn't go too far, did I? No, I'm okay? Yeah, okay. I was worried. Maybe I went on to the next stop. Okay. So it says over here, Tan Rabbona, V'natan Aaron Ashnei Hasirim Goralot. So this word Goralot means anything. It just says Goralot. Does it give you a deal of like what material it means to make? No. So whatever it is, Shokol Davar. Now you might think that it means Ashnei Asirim Goralot. You need Goralot on each of the Shnei Asirim, not Goralot for both Seirim. So you might think you take Shnayim Alzeh for Shnayim Alzeh, that you should have to have Goralot on each one of them. So you would have Hashem and Azazel on one, and Hashem and Azazel on the other. So, I mean, it's all questions. Then what would be the point of the Goralot? Does this brings from Rashi would mean he would choose which one he wants, which this is ridiculous, because then it wouldn't be Alpi HaGoral, it would be Alpi HaShem. So, okay, so what would be the point? So Tosfos says maybe it means you would, after you choose them with Goralot, then you would have a second set of Goralot to put one with the Shem HaShem on the one that had come up with the Shem, and to put the other with the Azazel, maybe that's the pshat. So it doesn't mean that you do another goral, or maybe it means that in order to be mash for the two goralot, because it says that they have to be exactly the same, that you should be goralot, you should put the same two, you should take the other one and put it on the head of the first one, and take the first one, put it on the head of the other one. And that way, both goralot would be on them after choosing, but it wouldn't mean that that's what it was. I'm just thinking that what it might mean is that, remember, there's always a taina about the goral. As the Gemara says, this is what Yoshua tells Ocha. Don't put any doubts on the goral. Because what did Ochan say? Ochan said, look, if they would make a goral between you and Moshe, it would also have to come up on one of you. I mean, so what are you saying? I mean, a goral has to come up on somewhere. So the whole idea of the goral is that it's random. So what are you telling me? So it came up on me. So that's what Yoshua said to him. Listen, don't say, you've already done enough harm. Don't start talking about the goral. But if we had shnei goralot on each one, you see, and then on one of them it would come up with the shame, and the other one it would come up lazazel, and nobody could sign it, because we dafka had two goralot on each one. Okay. Could be that Rashi didn't want to say that. Those didn't want to say that. Because we didn't want to say that we should bedafka do something that makes it as if we're being soymech al hanes, but I think it's a very beautiful pshat. Okay, but in any event, whatever it means, you might think you would make shnayim hazeh. Talmud Omar goral echad Hashem goral echad laazazel, ein kan l'shem ela goral echad ve'ein kan laazazel ela echad. So you might think yochel yitain shel shem vishel azazel alzer. Vishal Shem, Vishal Azazel Azeh, so that both of them, you have to put the both of the Goralot on them, because it says on both of them. So again, here Rashi says you can choose, but Tosfos doesn't mean that. It means after it was selected. So you might think that you should do that. That even that, says the Pasuk, it doesn't mean that, because it says, Tamid Lomar Goral Echad Lashem, Ein Kan Lashem El Echad, Ein Kan Lazazel El Echad. Im Kein Ma Tamid Lomar Goralot. So why does it say Goralot? That means that there need to be no distinctions that would be discernible by touch in the Goralot. Shu Shavim. Shlo Yaseh Echad Shel Zahav, Echad Shel Chesed, Echad Gadol, Echad Katan. And that is part of the way that the two Seirim need to be exactly the same. So to the Goral on them needs to be exactly the same. So there couldn't be any distinction at all. Then you said Goralot means any material. Well, obviously. I mean, what right would you have to say that Goralot means something? It just says Goralot. So Pshita. No. That's the idea that we might have thought that since the Shem Hashem actually does appear in the Big Day Kohuna, on the tzitz, okay? So it says in the Brayta, Fisha matzino betzitz, shashem katuv alav, and it's made out of gold. So you might think that you have to make the goralot out of gold and learn it out of the tzitz. That's why we understand goralot means from anything, but we're not learning that out of the word goralot. We're learning that out of the double mention of goral. Goral, goral, rima. And that could say, Goral Echad Lashem, Vechad La'azazel, right? So instead it says, Goral Echad Lashem, Goral Echad La'azazel. From there we learn Riba, Riba Shel Zayid, Riba Shel Egoz, Riba Shel Eshkaroa, anything that is Mechubad, and that is a hardwood, that would be fine. Then we said, Ben Katina Sash Nemasar Tad L'Kiyor. Why did he do that? Kedel Chiyu Shnei Masrechav HaKohanim Asukim B'Tamid B'Kachim Yideyem V'Ragleyem B'Vat Achad. So again, as we saw before, really there were 13. How does it get 12? Because the Shrit is not an Aveda. So he made 12. Tana. Shacharit B'Milu O M'Kadashat V'Ragle Min HaElyon. Arvit, Biridato, Mekachi Yerav Ragla Minatachton. This is obviously a reference to the original situation where we had two dadim. What was the point of having two dadim? So the idea was that we don't want to use the lower dad when the kior is full, because then the water will gush out. And gushing out is inappropriate. We're utilizing things that were mekudesh. We don't throw around mayim that were mekudesh with a kli as if they're useless. So first we open the dad that's on top so that we'll have less water pressure. We can't use the dad on top by the afternoon because by then there's no water at that level. So by the afternoon where it's close to being used up, we use the bottom one. That's what it's telling us, which is certainly a marker for the original idea of chaval al kol tipa, teach people to stop wasting water. And that it's a remez already to caring about the water that you're using. The afua sa muchani likior. What is a muchani? Omra by the muchani was a machine of some type that was based on these gears that would be mishake alahu. It would lower the entire kior so that then the kior would be attached to the water underneath. Obviously, it was a pretty complex kind of thing, and we hear that it was quite noisy. I mean, it would have to lift up pieces of the floor to allow the muchani to be lowered underneath, and zelo pashut. So certainly, it was a very nice idea to have a little button over there, probably remote control for the kohen gadol. You know, just push it, and the muchani lowers it down. This is sort of, what do you mean he made all of the handles? What is he, a cheapo? Why is he making the handles? Why does he make the actual kelim? I mean, this doesn't seem like a very nice way to deal with things. So now, why isn't he making the actual kelim out of gold? Because when it says over here, it doesn't mean the kelim all over. It means the handles of knives. You can't make knives out of gold. It's too soft. But the blade, you can make it out of gold. Meitvei, how could that be what it means? It's What did I say?
Rebbe said blade.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy. Yeah. I thought I said you can't make the blade out of gold. I said you can't make the handle out of gold.
Rebbe's cutting edge.
Very, 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 very. Mamas are phasic. Okay. So he's talking about he made the handles because you can't make the blade out of gold. Meitzvah. Afu asaka nekelim. Can't be true because it says that Monbaz made the bases of the kelim and the ognei kelim. So if there was an ogen that was on top of the kli, or it was the way that you held onto a kli, which is mashim from Rashi, it's not so much because ogen usually is where it covers over the top. Yodota kelim, yodota sakinim, all of the handles of things, including the handles of the sakinim of Yom Kippur, shel zahav, but it wasn't only knives. So, I mean, it's the problem. You can't answer me, well, knives, it's the only thing it's referring to here. It says separately, yodot sakinim, yodot kelim, so it's not knives. So then the kasha comes back. Why didn't he make everything out of gold? Why only the handles? Targuma abaye, the handles also are things of similar to knives that you can't make out of gold because you're used for chopping, either chopping wood, or they're used for places where you're going to be gathering stuff. So narge, chatzine, obviously you can't make anything that is going to be coming in contact with something that needs a sharp edge. That can't be made out of gold. That's what it was referring to. It's the same idea as the knives. Okay, and then Helene. Helene, she made nivreshet al zahav. What was that for? Tana b'sha'asha chamaz zorachat, when the sun would first become visible at nitz, nitzotzot yotzimi mena, you could see this thing shining, it was shiny gold, and hako yodim shigez man kriyat shema. Everybody would know that it's the time for the nitz, and you're supposed to be saying kriyat shema at the time of the nitz. Meisve, hakoreyat shema shacharit iman shemish ma'avan shema ma'ad lo yatzah. If you read the Kriyat Shema in the Beis HaMikdash, and you are an observer, you see all of the people that were working on all the people in that Mishmar, the Kohanim, when they take off to say Kriyat Shema, so you figure it's Zman Kriyat Shema, and that's when you say it. You're not going to be Yotzei. And if you say it together with the people that are at the Ma'amad, those are the Bnei Yisrael that were Eimed from all of the Shvatim, they were Eimed as representatives of Yisrael on the Karbonis that are being brought for Yisrael. If you said it with them, you're also not Yotzei, because if you said it with the Anshei Mishmar, you're too early, because they used to say Kriyat Shema at Alos, and the reason they did that is because they were afraid they would become Trude in the Aveda, they wouldn't be able to break, and so on, they would forget to say Kriyat Shema Bizman, so they said it early. And if you said it together with the Anshei Ma'amad of the Bnei Yisrael, they would wait until after they finished standing at the Korban Tomid. So that was already too late, because, I mean, not too late, mamish, not to be Yotzei. It wasn't after the Sha'ash Shlishit, but you wouldn't be Yotzei lechatchila. So, and the same thing is true for saying it from Alot. Doesn't mean you're not Yotzei. Some learn that the Baal Mechomes actually learns that Minrabbonan, you're not Yotze, if you say it at Alois. But others, even though Minirais are Yotze, but others learned that you're not Yotze Ketikunai. We wouldn't say that you'd have to read it over again, Minrabbonan. Okay, so that's a Machorkis Rishani. Omer Abaye, it wasn't for the people in the Azora. They weren't looking at the Nivreshet, because either they had to wait till after the Tamid, or they were going to be saying it too early, before the Nivreshet was lighted. But it's talking about Lishar Amma de Yerushalayim. Other people that could see it all over in Yerushalayim, you could see the shine. And that's who it was for. They would be Kairei by the Nates. She also made a Tablat Shel Zahav. Wait a minute. You're telling me you're allowed to put a Parsha of the Torah just on its own, on a tablet? I mean, so if that's true, then it should mean that you're allowed to write a tablet for kids in school. And you could put down, now this is not referring to an iPad, because the question of whether that's considered to be ksiva, is it mutter to be ksiva, that's a big issue. Is electronic paper ksiva, even though you can read it? But the question of putting ksav onto a pad, which is also called a tablet, for kids, you see from here that you can, because how was she allowed to do that? So Shema Amina Kotvi Megillah LaTinok LaMeinu. You see that you are allowed to write just the chelik of the Torah, and that's a big machlokas in Gittin. Here it seems to be saying that you are allowed to. You don't have to write only an entire Sefer Torah. You can even write a parsha. No, says Gemara, not necessarily. Omer Shlokish Mishum Rabbi Yana, when it says that she wrote the parsha Soita, it may mean that she just wrote it sort of like an acrostic. So she wrote it in an olive base. So that way the sofer would realize, oh, I have to write this letter, I have to write im, I have to write lo, I have to write shin for shachav, I have to write ish for olive. So she just wrote the first letter of each word so that we wouldn't skip a word. That's what it means. Says Gemara, no, that's not what it means. Because in the Braita it says, Keshu Kotev, when the Kohen is writing the Parsha Saita, he looks at that tablet, Vero Evikotev Masha Katuv Betablet. Says he writes down what is written in the tablet, which must mean that the entire thing was written down. Maybe it means Ro Evikotev Kimo Shekatuv Betablet. Doesn't mean he writes the exact words, he writes it in the order of the olive base that's in the tablet. No, meisvei. Kishuhu kotev roe vekotev ma shekatuv betabla. And what was katuv betabla? Now dig this. How are you going to get out of this one? Ma katuv betabla? Im shachav ishotach, im lo shachav ishotach, im satit, im lo satit. Those are words. Those are not olive bases. What are you giving me olive base? No, maybe it means like this. Hosam. Maybe all that it means is that was written b'seirugin. In other words, the beginning of each pasuk, or the beginning of each sugya, im shachav ishotach. That was written, but not the whole parsha, not the whole pasuk. And then the rest of it was written with just the olive base. So that way you could remember.